Tappers, what's happening? Happy Monday. Hope you guys are all doing well. It is the first Monday where we can talk positively about the Green Bay Packers in quite a long time. It really feels like the first time, honestly, maybe since week one. And even week one, we were kind of like, how are we feeling, right? Because they basically pulled that game out of their ass, and they pulled a lot out of their ass this year. So we'll talk about the Packers. We're going to talk Marquette, Wisconsin. We'll talk Bucks as well with their big win and their weekend. It's going to be a quick one. I do not have a ton of time this morning, but I wanted to squeeze a podcast out because obviously it was a big weekend in Wisconsin. So we're going to do about 5 minutes on each topic. So a quick 15-minuter. We'll go a little more in depth tomorrow on maybe each topic. Probably not Marquette, Wisconsin, but definitely we'll talk Bucks, Cavs, some little extended thoughts on the Bucks, as well as any sort of reaction from today's sort of Packer Monday thoughts. I think there'll be a lot. So with the Packers, I thought they were energized. I was at Lambeau Field. I thought the crowd was sort of excited. It seemed like there was not, no one was really that mad. I mean, there was a few, you know, cheap comments here and there. It seemed Aaron Jones got disciplined for some reason. He didn't play much in the first quarter. I definitely think there was something there with Joe Philbin. The Packers showed off a quick passing attack early on in the game, which I thought was really good. I think that's something that was needed to be implemented a few weeks ago. You could definitely see a little bit of a difference in Joe Philbin versus Mike McCarthy. There weren't a lot of long extended plays. The offensive line did what they could against the Atlanta Falcons. I thought the line held up all right. I thought Lucas Patrick actually played pretty well, where he was, I think, at the right guard position, and Jay moved Justin McCray to right tackle as Brian Bulaga was out with an injury. I think Rodgers looked more like himself than he has in a few weeks. He definitely looked like there was a monkey off of his back. And it clearly this whole McCarthy influx had bothered him, and it was affecting the way he played football. Rodgers had 44 yards of rushing as well, to include with the 196 through the air. I love the fact that after Rodgers took a late hit from, I believe it was it Jones? I can't remember. I was, like I said, I was at the game, but there was a late hit, and then all of the Packer players jumped up and were ready to fight. Like Corey Linsley, Devontae Adams, Lucas Patrick, Valdez Scantling, all were in the mix, and it was great to see. It was great to see all of that. Really, the only, I guess, negative from the game was Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham had a couple big drops in the game. He had a pass interference. I really think at this point, Jimmy Graham should probably not be playing. Here's the thing. Like, I like Jimmy Graham. I think Jimmy Graham, I think they have a decision to make on him next year. But why not let Robert Tyon and Lance Kendricks and Mercedes Lewis just take over the rest of the season? It's clear that this broken thumb is affecting him. And I'm wondering if Rodgers and Philbin are going to have that conversation, because it doesn't seem like he's effective out there. He just is made one catch, I think, in the game. He just doesn't have it. I mean, you have a broken thumb, right? And you're a receiver. When you're a defensive lineman, or you're an offensive lineman, or even a linebacker, you can play with a broken thumb, but it just does not seem like Jimmy Graham is able to do that, which is okay. I mean, that's fine. I thought Jair Alexander held his own against Julio Jones. I mean, Julio Jones, one of the best receivers in football. I mean, he's going to get his. And Jair did a decent job. He got screwed on that play early in the game. The officiating early on was just absolutely abhorrent. I'm glad that the Packers sort of overcame that. And Breshad Breeland with a great play to pick six. And that, I think, really changed the game, if you will. Now they get the Bears down in Soldier Field. Bears looked really good. Obviously, holding the Rams to 6 points, it does set up for a letdown situation for the Bears. Packers eliminated now from the NFC North, winning the North there. The Bears are sort of lining that up, especially if the Vikings were to lose tonight against the Seahawks. Aaron Rodgers is a bad man, and I know that they're going to have to do a lot of things to keep that Bears pass rush at bay with Khalil Mack and with, you know, Quinn, with Rokon Smith and Akeem Hicks and all the other Bears members, they're going to have to do some things. We'll talk about it all this week. But I do think the Packers can win that game. I really do. I think part of the reason the Rams struggled so much was the cold weather, and that just Jared Goff was not used to it. He was off. This whole team really, really did suffer because of it. So that's not something I'm worried about. I don't think the Bears are this elite team. I think the Packers can beat them. Like I mentioned at the beginning, it's a quick show today. So moving on in rapid fire speed to the Bucs. So what a weekend for the Bucs. So the Bucs go 2-1 on the week. They, you know, struggled against the Golden State Warriors. The Bucs didn't get blown out. And for as bad as they played, they should have gotten blown out. I know that's like a weird correlation to make, but they really did not play well in that game at all. Like, this whole game was not good for the Bucks. They just could not make a shot. The Warriors did a really good job. Obviously, to me, that was a message sent by the Golden State Warriors to say, hey, look, we are still the Kings. You still have to go through us. This is not going to get easy for you. So you're going to have to sort of power up through it. And that message was sent sort of loud and clear for the Bucks, and then they responded with a great win against the Toronto Raptors the next night. The Bucks did a really good job with the Raptors, and they built out the lead in the second quarter, in the third quarter, and then in the fourth. I mean, they really had a chance to stomp on their throat. They didn't. The Raptors got on a long run. I wrote about this today, and I was kind of mad at the Bucks. And the more that I've sort of pieced it together and thought about it, I don't think I should have sort of been mad, because it's a really good team. On the road, you know, they're going to make that last run. Now, could the Bucks have done a little more to stop it? Yes. I think they did not get Giannis involved nearly enough in the fourth quarter, and that to me is a problem. I think you do need to have Giannis in the mix, and you can't rely on Middleton, Brogdon, and Bledsoe. Now, Brogdon hit two major shots down the stretch, and that's very important, but you do need some Giannis influence, and part of that run was because Giannis really wasn't involved with the offense. You have to find ways to make him involved. Way too much iso ball, and yeah, I did think there were some kid-like elements of Friday and Sunday that I didn't like, but the fact the Bucks got a win is major. Now, can they win two straight? They haven't won two straight since November 19th and November 21st. They play the Cavaliers tonight. It is a classic letdown situation. It's the Bucks' third game in four nights. It's definitely going to be tough. But they've done well against the division, and the next four opponents are against the division. After tonight, they head to Indiana on Wednesday, to Cleveland on Friday, and the Detroit on Monday. So the Bucks are, you know, there's some opportunity there. They're next, actually. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six of their next seven after tonight are on the road. Pretty crazy for the Bucks. Now, it kind of balances out. Remember, they were at home for a good chunk of October and November, so it makes sense in a way. Bucks are only 5-5 on the road, so definitely they're going to have to work on that road record. They do have, you know, the opponents aren't that serious. Obviously, there are some big matchups there. Boston at Boston next Friday night. Big night for hoops on that Friday night, by the way. And then they play New Orleans at home. Detroit's been a good home team there. I think 7-4 at home this year. So it's not like the Pistons are any schlubs. But I think the Bucks are, you know, still learning from each other. I think the Middleton thing was weird, and getting him back in acclimation, and they're working towards it. I just think the Bucks haven't really got on that run again since the start of the season. They've sort of just, it's been every other game, but they haven't lost two straight, and they're keeping their record. They're 17-8. They have a chance to go 10 games over tonight in a winnable game against Cleveland, but I would not be surprised if it's a nail biter. Bucks are favored by 14. that might be a little too high for them. But yes, I think we're seeing some good things out of the Bucks. But Budenholzer, close games. Bucks are now 3-6 in close games. Budenholzer, I think, still learning what this team can do in close game situations. He nearly flubbed it up running the same out of bounds play back to back, and it nearly cost them a turnover up. Thankfully, they ran something else the third time around, and Giannis got free for a dunk, and it led to a Kawhi Leonard kind of rush three that didn't go down, and then he could not tie the game. Bucks did get the rebound and ended it with two free throws. So good to see in all regards, and looking forward to tonight's matchup against the Cavs. All right, wrapping up the podcast, like I said, quick one today. With lack of time, we have to sort of roll through this. If you're like, you're talking at a mile a minute, I kind of am. But that's life. That's life sometimes. So with Marquette and Wisconsin, awesome game. It was ugly, but it was an awesome game. That was, to me, one of the best Marquette-Wisconsin games we've had in a long time. The Golden Eagles are continuing to win ugly. That's something they haven't done in years. I was really happy with the Golden Eagles' perimeter defense. They shut down Brad Davidson. They shut down Demetric Trice. They kind of just let Ethan Happ have his, which he did. He had 34 points. They even played well against Ethan Happ. Like, I know he had 34 points. That's a ton of buckets. But Happ still, I mean, he cannot do it all. And we saw it last year with Wisconsin, where when Happ was the guy, they needed somebody else, and no one really stepped up. Nate Reavers kind of did, but Reavers, Davidson, Trice all missed decent looks down the stretch, and that hurt Wisconsin. And now Marquette had a good game from the Housers. Marcus Howard was the least efficient 24 points I've ever seen. He only made 7 shots. He got to the line a lot. Marcus Howard needs to rein it in a little bit. The hero ball from him was far too much, especially down the stretch. Marquette doesn't need that. And if Chartouni was a little better, I think you would have actually seen more of him instead of Howard, because I think that Howard was hurting the team. The hero ball move down in the last seconds with Wojo not taking a timeout was ridiculous. I don't know why Wojo wouldn't have thought to call a timeout, especially with the shooters he has, with the Housers, Howard. Like, how the hell are you not calling an out-of-bounds play that involves, like, two guys screening off and popping out? Like, that, and I know that I'm being sort of an armchair coach here, but that to me is, like, the easiest play in the book, right? Isn't that what you call there? To let the clock run down, sure, to, like, 7 seconds, make sure you have last shot. But, like, at least run a play. It was very frustrating. I'm glad Marquette won. And then you had the Brad Davidson nut tap. So Brad Davidson gets a flagrant in overtime, clearly hits Joey Hauser in the balls. And, yeah, I don't know what more to say about Brad Davidson. I mean, he is the heel, man. He totally made a heel turn. We'll see if there's any discipline handed out by Greg Gard or the Big Ten for that move. I don't know. I don't know if there's going to be a message sent. I think that's a reckless play by Brad Davidson, and he obviously let the emotions of the game get the best of him. He missed a couple free throws. He's been one of the best free throw shooters in the country. He missed a couple. I think he just let himself get too wrapped up in the rivalry game, and it was a reckless play by Davidson, and really something that was disappointing to see. And now, you know, I think he's definitely developed himself as this heel. And Buzzcut Brad is going to definitely have some haters throughout the year. And I'm sure he will not get a warm welcome when he returns to Marquette in his senior year. So we'll see. We'll see if what kind of punishment is issued there. But good win for Marquette. They should be back in the top 25. Also, you have sort of a house money with Marquette now against Buffalo. You'd like to beat Buffalo next week. Buffalo undefeated. They are going to be a top 15 team, it looks like, when they come into the Fiserv Forum next Friday night. But that's a little bit house money, because Marquette's now won 3 of their five big non-conference games without any non-conference blunders, fingers crossed. And if you were to beat Buffalo, you're 4-2 against the non-con opponents with some quadrant one wins or quadrant two wins. It's really important for Marquette. The thing I forgot to add about the Bucks, speaking of our Snowtap House money presented by Potawatomi, not a real sponsor, Bucks also gained themselves house money with the Raptors. They have two more left with Toronto through the year, but they are now guaranteed at least a split, which could be important if they're jostling for playoff positioning. All right, that does it. We'll do a little more on Packers and Bucks tomorrow. Maybe even talk a little Brewers winter meeting. Dan Plesac, who has some Brewer connection, mentioned the Brewers as a dark horse candidate for Manny Machado. Could you really get down with Machado? I have to think about it. I got to marinate on that like a slow cooker. I got to think about it a little bit more and see how I feel. Initially, no, but I probably could talk myself into it. We'll discuss tomorrow. All right, guys. Take care. Have a good one. Have a good Monday. See you later. Bye.